Hello, I'm Harry Robinson. Before we begin, I just wanted to apologise for the lateness of this episode, our 8th ever. We had a plethora of issues with the laptop's editing software, and after all that, found the recording quality was poor too. At times it sounds like there might be gunshots in the background when Jack is speaking, so sorry for that. Thanks for your fantastic support and for staying true with this despite a slightly worse quality than usual. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to Series 1, Episode 7 of the Manchester United Weekly Cast as we discuss a glorious win at home to Arsenal, a 5-1 thumping of FC Midtjylland, and that is youth and senior news for the club. Jumps up on antihistamine, I see you sometimes in my dreams, her words taste just like tangerine, so sweet they leave me queasy. This is the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. I'm Harry Robinson, and as always I'm joined by Jack Tate to go through the last week for Manchester United. Quite a strangely good one, hasn't it, Jack?
It has. Yeah, it's been lovely to watch this week, actually. A big change from how we felt last week doing this. It's been a very, very sad week.
So let's start off with that Arsenal game. I mean, before the game, we looked at the lineup. We saw Michael Carrick and Daley Blind at centre-back. We saw Marcus Rashford up front, Martial and Smalling yet to come back. De Gea's come back, great bit of news, and he made some excellent saves which kept us in the league at times. But we saw that. We saw Carrick and Blind. We saw Rashford, Lingard, many young players. I think there were 8 within the squad. And then, of course, we had 9 overall with Danny Welbeck. Great day for the academy coaches at the club. But we saw that lineup, and honestly, I thought we could be utterly spanked. I mean, it could be revenge for 8-2, but it turns out incredible result, isn't it?
It really was, yeah. Seeing that lineup, we all thought that it could go badly wrong against Arsenal. But the youngsters stepped up when we needed them. They were all absolutely brilliant. Like you said, a brilliant, brilliant day for the academy. We've all been very worried recently about the state of our academy, which we've talked about a lot on this podcast, but it really just showed yesterday that even though we may not be in the best state at the moment, development of young players, we still do have some great talent. And when they do step up, they really did perform well.
And Marcus Rashford, what a start. I mean, it could be that he doesn't go on to become a Manchester United striker, but just wow. He's now the third youngest Manchester United goal scorer in Premier League history behind Welbeck, who also scored. It was good to see him back, especially not winning, but playing well and being an important player. And Federico Makeda! And he's also our 6th highest goal scorer this season, which is incredible after after 2 games. It really was incredible. That first goal went in, and there was a big celebration, and people just laughed. How could this happen? And the second one went in 3 minutes later, like overawed by what an achievement and what an incredible story for a player who's been on your sub and then comes in and scores 4.
He looks a real talent. I'm not getting too carried away. At the end of the day, it's been 2 games, you know, and for me, what impressed me most wasn't actually the 2 goals, although especially that second one was a great headed finish. His general play was really, really good. He really stretched Arsenal a lot throughout the game. And he was a really, really willing runner. A lot of the time this went unnoticed, but his work rate was brilliant. And what it did was it put the Arsenal centre-backs under pressure. We know they like to play out from the back. And so a lot of the time when we were under pressure and did the ball long, he forced Gabriel and Koscielny to panic and have to either put the ball out of play into touch and then we got further up the pitch, or just force them to go backwards and have to start again rather than being able to launch another attack really quickly. And so that really impressed me on that side of his game. And on the ball, he looked a real threat whenever he got it. His decision-making, very rare for a young player, someone of his age, was really, really good all day. And it just showed it when he laid the ball off perfectly for Ander Herrera, the assist to go with his 2 brilliant goals.
Yeah, I thought the assist was one of the, I mean, obviously scoring 2 goals against Petr Cech, one of the best keepers ever, to be honest. And I mean, that's an incredible achievement. But the assist for Herrera, the hold-up play when you had 3 Arsenal players surrounding you, trying to snap the ball away from your heels, and you managed to calmly keep the ball, turn around and spot the better option aside from just shooting. And another key thing, I think you mentioned it, was the work rate. Work rate is obviously used a lot for young players, and obviously they have the legs to do it. But Rashford was chasing Cech down in probably the first 60 minutes of the game. There was one point where he chased Cech down and Cech passes it probably about 35 yards to Koscielny. Rashford caught him up by the time the ball had got there. I mean, he's running at the pace of the ball and he's very quick. I've only seen him probably 5 or 6 times for the under-21s and under-18s, but he's been good there. And we don't want to overhype this. We can't do this. English media and English fans have this ridiculous way of going about English talent breaking through, and we need to, including the coaches. The coaches can't focus on Rashford becoming our main man because he's not going to be. We have to keep developing him as a all-round player, not as the player to make an impact for United now. And obviously, if you're good enough, you're old enough. That classic cliche that's so often associated with United. But I think we need to focus on his development rather than his instant impact for the moment. My man of the match, despite Rashford's two goals, was Memphis. I thought hold up play, very confident, and he really led the team. And there was a great moment when Ramsey pushed Torreira over. Memphis was first over, getting in the referee. I mean, you want respect for the referees, but you also want that passion and aggression from Memphis.
It was a really dogged and a very good performance, actually, from Memphis. It was one that won't grab any headlines and hasn't grabbed any headlines, largely because of the heroics of Marcus Rashford. But it was a really, really solid performance from Memphis. One of the biggest things when you're playing against Arsenal is trying to thwart the threat of their fullbacks. And Hector Bellerin has had a brilliant season on that right-hand side for Arsenal. And Memphis dealt with him really, really well all game. He really tracked back well, which is not a side of his game that we've seen or really expected to see very much this season from him. And so it was great to see him actually doing that side of his work. And on the ball, he always looked a threat. Again, actually, similar to Rashford, he always made good decisions. He caused Bellerin problems wherever he could. The rainbow flick first touch really just highlighted to everyone what a talent he is. And it seems a case of evidence, because after that performance against Midtjylland on Thursday, which we'll come on to, he seemed to have gained so much confidence and he was so much more comfortable on the ball. And he didn't seem like he was forcing things anywhere near as much. And he only made the 25, 30-yard shots, which we saw every 2 seconds against Shrewsbury last week. He only made them when they were appropriate. His decision-making was a lot better than usual. I think it all comes from that confidence that he gained. I thought he had a great game.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that confidence or it's just the fans belief in him now after seeing that. What was an incredible performance against Midtjylland. Man of the match again, despite Rashford's heroics on his debut. I thought Memphis was man of the match twice in a row. And as I said, I don't know if it's confidence. I think that plays a huge part as well. But the fans being behind him at Old Trafford, the fact that now, having seen the performance against Midtjylland, when he tries a trick and it doesn't come off, probably 3 or 4 times against Arsenal, when that happened, people weren't groaning like they were at the start of the season when he wasn't quite as consistent or good, but people are sort of laughing, like, imagine if that came off. And we saw some of those incredible showboating tricks. It was like having Ronaldo back. It really was. And then his goal against Midtjylland when he cuts inside and pulls it into the near post after a few tricks. It was Ronaldo reminiscent.
As I said, it's what we've been waiting for really all season. We all knew that he had talent. We all knew that he has the ability to go on and achieve great. But no, Memphis was brilliant, as, to be fair, were almost everyone against Arsenal. It was a brilliant all-round team performance.
Yeah, I thought the defence did well despite a few hiccups. I thought Daley Blind in the air particularly impressed. He was slightly dodgy and him and Rojo on the left flank were, I think they kicked the ball out within the space of a minute. They both managed to kick the ball out when not under pressure. And when you're only 3-2 up, that was very nervous. But I thought Blind in the air dealt fantastically well, given the fact that he's a midfielder and his stature isn't particularly impressive compared to people like Danny Welbeck and Olivier Giroud or even Alexis Sanchez, who's very well built, shall we say. And Carrick did better than expected. Obviously, not a long-term solution, and we need to see Carrick out of that position as soon as possible, because there were scary moments of point. Guillermo Varela, another fantastic performance. Assist for the goal, the first Rashford goal, with a brilliant, brilliant cross that I think Memphis just missed out on. But then, because it was so, the curl on it was so good, Cech couldn't claim it. And Rashford, when Valencia comes back in the next few weeks, and when Darmian comes back in about a month or so, Varela's got to keep his place, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, Varela was actually my man in the match against Arsenal. I thought he was a brilliant, brilliant performer. And to be fair, has been right since he first came into the team to replace the injured Darmian. As you said, I'm sure when Valencia comes back into the team, or comes back into the squad even, when he recovers from injury, I can't see him replacing Varela in the starting 11. I really can't. And even Darmian, I personally think Varela in the last few weeks has been better than the standard that we've seen from Darmian this season. He's been a real, real surprise for me. He impressed in the under-21s, don't get me wrong, but he was never someone that seemed to set the world alight. And He was just seen as someone who, yeah, you know, he was a good player. He was playing for Man United under-21s, but he wasn't tipped for big things once he did break into the first team. But he's proved everyone wrong, and he's done brilliantly since he has come into the team. And he's fully deserving the praise that he's having right now, because he, along with Borthwick Jackson, who unfortunately is injured as well at the moment, both did have done brilliantly, brilliantly well since they came into the team.
Jesse Lingard was quiet on Sunday, but he still that hunger was still evident, and there's that hunger and determination, and they strive to impress far more than the senior players, who obviously try, and we can't say they're not, because they're always giving 100%, but they don't have that same hunger and drive as younger players do. And I think that's possibly why our form has taken a turn for the better, the introduction of so many young players. It was good to see Timothy Fosu-Mensah, one of the biggest talents of the club, an excellent defender who can play all across the defence, right back, centre back and left back, as well as in central midfield. He came on for his debut for Marcus Rojo. Also good to see him return for the majority of the game. He came off with a slight knock for Fosu-Mensah. James Weir made his debut, if it was about a minute and a half one. And Morgan Schneiderlin, I don't want to put a dampener on what's going to be a very positive episode this week, but Schneiderlin, excellent in terms of being a midfielder, but when he had to drop back into defence, he was very, very, his decision making is often very poor. He charges out quite a lot, and his stats are good, but watching it's very hard to realise the impact he does, and I think that's why so many people underrate him. But he was at fault for two goals, I thought.
He's always a strange one, because he does make some very, very important challenges, some very important interceptions. And to be fair, he did break up play a number of times yesterday. As you said, he was definitely at fault for the second goal, and probably at the first as well. Should have organised himself a bit quicker. I think he is quite important to our team, because he offers us something that no other midfielder, I don't think, offers, in that the combative nature that he possesses. I just think he needs to calm down a little bit sometimes, because as you said, sometimes he seems to... He goes chasing the ball a little bit too much. And it happened quite a few times where you often see him almost replacing Mata in that kind of advanced midfielder role when he goes chasing. There was a number of times when Coquelin received the ball yesterday, and he went charging in to try and win back. And if it doesn't then get it, we're left short in sort of the defensive midfield area. So he just needs to calm down, I think, and just make sure he maintains his position, and think about where the attack is likely to develop, rather than worrying about charging upfield, trying to nick the ball away cheaply. But I think he is important to our team, and overall, despite a few mistakes, he is an important player, and he did okay yesterday.
Well, it was a very Manchester United Football Club performance. Six academy players, eight in the squad, with the other scorer for Arsenal, but also coming from the United Academy. Attacking football, excitement, some scrap. There was that passion, overused word a lot of the time, from people like Memphis, as we mentioned. And we've retained that record that we've never lost a match at Old Trafford in the league when we've led in halftime, which is absolutely incredible. And there was another very Manchester United night on Thursday. A European night at Old Trafford, albeit in the Europa League and not Champions League, and a debutant striker scores two goals on his debut in a 5-1 thumping with constant attacking football. I mean, who cares if it was Midtjylland, to be honest? It was a great evening, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And when that first Midtjylland goal went in, I was ready to throw the kitchen sink at Van Gaal, at the team, at everyone. When that went in, I think we all just went into meltdown for a few minutes. But no, it was a brilliant response. And especially, again, with a number of young players in because of our injuries, it was lovely to watch the way that we played. It just seemed like the players had no fear. I guess because of the situation, and they couldn't afford to be any fear, basically, because it was, you know, if we lost that game, we were out, effectively. And I think it actually helped having so many young players, because they didn't seem fazed by the fact, not fazed, but they didn't seem to care that it was the Europa League. They just wanted to get out there and play and enjoy their football and impress the manager, impress the fan. And they did that massively. The end, that second half of the first half, and then the entirety of the second half, was a joy to watch, especially watching Memphis Depay just display everything that we've hoped that he would do this for the entire season. And it was great to watch. And as you say, although it was against Midtjylland, that is how we used to dispatch of smaller teams when Ferguson was around, and it was what we hoped Van Gaal would bring to our team.
After Memphis made the own, he became incredibly confident. Eventually, like as I said earlier, watching a young Ronaldo, I can't many nutmegs. in one game from one player. I mean, there was one back heel, one touch nutmeg, and then a Rabona nutmeg. It's just incredible. He deserved his goal. It was great to see a late goal that he thoroughly deserved, having been man of the match despite Rashford's two goals. And it was a goal that we've missed a lot. A skill cut inside, 1 yard of space, and just bangs it near corner. That's something we've missed, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And it was lovely to come back because, really, apart from Anthony Martial, we've not seen anyone willing to make those runs into the channels and create that space for our attackers this season. And it was lovely to see Rashford, Memphis and Lingard all willing to make those kind of runs. And I think it's been a feature of definitely Lingard's play since he's come into the team, actually. I think he's someone who's gone under the radar quite a lot in that he's sacrificed himself a lot for the team. Although on the ball, he might not be technically the best player we have. He is definitely one of the most selfless. As a team player, he really does fulfil his role really, really well. And there's been a lot of hate directed towards him, especially just before the Chelsea game, actually, and then he proved a lot of people wrong with that stunning volley. But I think it's been quite unfair, and he's done really, really well.
Yeah, we spoke about this on the last episode, about how we think Lingard is going to be one of those players that would have definitely made it under Sir Alex Ferguson, a squad player from the academy. And we need those kind of players. And as you say, a team player, one that just wants to play for United as a United fan. So he was good. I thought Schneiderlin, having just bought, he was excellent, as against Shrewsbury Town. He seems to always be a contender for man of the match against the smaller teams. I think we got to mention O'Reilly, so coming on to the sub against Shrewsbury. He was subbed off with about 12 minutes to go. And a debut in such an important match for Louis van Gaal and the club as a whole. And he looked like it wasn't his debut at all. He settled in so well. And actually, he was one of the best players in the pitch, and he combined very well with Memphis, allowed Memphis to not track back, which I think is really helpful for Memphis in having that confidence and being able to go forward with Riley supporting him. Marcus Rojo, as I said against Arsenal, good to see him back, and good to see any player back from injury, really. I mean, a few players are returned, but it's still an incredible list. And Andres Pereira, you just got to feel sorry for the kid. I mean, we mention him every week, just saying that he needs minutes, doesn't he? Next round against Liverpool. What a tie. First match up in a European competition. March the 10th for Anfield. 8:05 kickoff. March the 17th for Old Trafford. We're both going, aren't we? It could be quite special,
yeah.
Couldn't it?
Yeah, can't wait. It's the kind of nights that we all became accustomed to, albeit in a different, more prestigious competition, but no matter what the circumstances surrounding a United-Liverpool game, whether it's on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Sunday, or a Thursday, for that matter, it's always going to be a special night. And over two legs, I'm expecting a real barnstormer of a tie, to be fair. I think Jurgen Klopp's team will definitely be up for it because, to all intents and purposes, this is their main focus now. I think most people would agree their chances of the top have gone, as I suppose some people might claim ours are, but I'm not sure. So I think it should be a really, really good game. And you never quite know what you're going to get with Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool. They could turn up and play how they did against Man City at the Etihad, or they could turn up and play how they did against Watford at Vicarage Road. So it's always a lottery, but I'm really, really looking forward to the game. I was over the moon, actually, when the draw got made, because I just think it's the kind of nights that we've been missing at Old Trafford. And like I said, although it's not in the competition we would all like it to be in, it's still going to be a great night, a great atmosphere, and I can't wait, especially because we're both going.
Yeah, I was in a Spanish exam, actually, and my teacher, a Scouser, and he came over to me with a little note saying, "Man, you Liverpool." And at the time, I put my head in my hands, and then about 2 minutes later, I was celebrating, because at first you see it and you think, oh, God, no, we might go out. And then you think, hold on, we've beaten Liverpool four times in a row in the league, and very excited, even if a little nervous. And I think the second leg being at Old Trafford is key, because an away goal at Anfield is very doable, even if they can get an away goal at Old Trafford. But coming back possibly with a win to Old Trafford could be vital. Little good thing. Van Gaal 9, Liverpool 2 so far. So we can be confident for that. On the subject of Van Gaal, everyone seems very positive around the club at the moment. And I've not wanted Van Gaal out, and not wanted him either. A bit of sitting on the fence, but I've always sort of leaned towards keeping him and keeping Mourinho very far out from the club. And a few fans who are maybe warming to Van Gaal a bit in this good run of form.
Definitely. I think it's because when Van Gaal first joined us, they loved him because they loved how crazy he was. But then when things started to go wrong on the pitch, it just looked ridiculous that we had a manager saying all these ridiculous things to the media when we were playing that badly. But now that we're starting to play a little bit, he's starting to really endear himself to people again. And what I'm sure will become the infamous dive on the touchline in front of Mike Dean.
what a moment that was.
I think it's one of, it's got to be my moment of the season, the moment of the last few years, without a doubt. What made it better was that he did it in front of Mike Dean, the referee who never smiles. But it was a brilliant moment. I think it really endeared him to the fans, and there was just a sense that he was beginning to win people over again when he did that. As kind of stupid as it was, but because things were going right on the pitch, it was a lot more acceptable.
Yeah, and there's I don't want to be gushing for Van Gaal, because ultimately he has been a failure, but there is that side to him which makes it very, very difficult to hate him. I think a lot of people do hate him, but for me, that confidence, that arrogance, and ultimately that humour, that thought does go down as one of the best moments of the season, if not the past few seasons. I think it's stuff like that which could, if this form continues and if we make top four or if we win a trophy, could convince some people that maybe him over Mourinho. And there's also a very strong argument that he could have played Memphis up front against Arsenal, because Rashford coming into your Premier League debut, I mean, he scored two against Midtjylland, but that's Midtjylland. This is Arsenal, as he said after the game, one of the best teams in the league. And he still went with Rashford, and he still went with Jesse Lingard, and he still went with Varela. He could have played people out of position as he did last season, which was a big criticism. And instead, he's using people like Fosu Mensah, because Daley Blind could have gone at left back when Rojo got injured, and maybe someone else could have slotted into defence. But he put Fosu Mensah there instead. And there's been more debuts this week. I think it's now 14 players who play for the under-21s regularly who have been given debuts by Van Gaal in the past about 22 months or so. It's something that argues very strongly for Mourinho to stay well out, isn't it?
I mean, for a time, I was beginning to lean towards Mourinho simply for the fact that I was so desperate for results. But I think a few weeks ago, I kind of came to my senses and I realised that he just doesn't fit with our club. He doesn't fit with what we're trying to achieve. And as we kind of covered in the episode after it was in Pep, we'll be going to City, that I'm not even sure Mourinho will win many, if any, trophies while Pep Guardiola is at City, because at Real Madrid, he found it tough enough competing with Guardiola. And then, say, 3 years down the line, not won that much against Pep at City, he then may leave us in the state that he's left Chelsea. And why do we want to get into a situation like that? I just think we'd be better off focusing on the long-term ambitions of the club. And like you said, how can we let all these brilliant youngsters that proved that they can step up yesterday, how can we then let them all go to waste if Mourinho comes in and just decides that he doesn't want them all and they all get loaned out?
Yeah, there was a great stat that my brother told me yesterday. Van Gaal / United have given 5 debuts to academy players this week, in the past 4 days, 5 days maybe. And Jose Mourinho at Chelsea, with undoubtedly the best academy in the league, if not the world, having won the UEFA Youth League, that's the mini version of the Champions League, having won that and winning FA Youth Cup, I think it now might be 3 or 4 times consecutively. He used 5 youth players in 2 years, and Van Gaal used 5 in 4 days. I think even if his injuries that has caused Van Gaal to use him, I think Mourinho wouldn't have done that.
Absolutely, yeah. You said, last season Van Gaal was the one playing see players out of position rather than blooding the youngsters. And that is the kind of thing that Jose Mourinho seems to prefer to do. And it's just not going to work, I don't think. I think fans would get too frustrated and too quickly. But I can't see it happening at United. I don't know. I just don't think it's a match that will ever work. And honestly, while Sir Alex Ferguson still has a say in the way that the club is ran, and Sir Bobby Charlton for that matter, I'm not sure he'll ever be allowed to come, because supposedly both of them were very, very vocal in their opposition to Mourinho joining when Ferguson retired.
Yeah, and you mentioned Sir Bobby Charlton there. We have to move on, but I don't know if we mentioned this in the last episode, but great news that one of the stands at Old Trafford will now be called the Sir Bobby Charlton stand. Opposite each other, Sir Alex Ferguson and Sir Bobby Charlton. I think that's great by the club. If you think of Manchester United, you'd think Sir Alex Ferguson, but someone who represents what United is all about is Sir Bobby Charlton. And I think we saw that this week with young players attacking football. And I think Sir Bobby Charlton is the figure who represents that. Also, I got to mention this. It was a great weekend, wasn't it? At the end of it, for example, singing along to Glory, Glory Man United. That was a great image. And I think that shows that maybe he is one of the people who has been slightly won over in the last few weeks by Van Gaal. As we mentioned, there are another four debutants this week, and the list of academy players becoming first team players grows as the injury list starts. Joe Riley made his full debut against FC Midtjylland. He'll be unlikely to stay within the first team of the return of Marcus Rojo, but Guillermo Varela has continued to be a key player, as we mentioned earlier. Antonio Valencia is set to return soon, leaving his position at right back under threat. Timothy Fosu-Mensah and James Weir both made their debuts as substitutes in a 3-2 win over Arsenal, and Marcus Rashford, of course, made his debut in stunning fashion, becoming United's youngest ever European goalscorer, breaking George Best's 51-year-old record. Former United striker, another player to score two goals on his debut for the club, a rare stat that is. Luis Saha has backed Rashford for success, saying he has all the ammunition to become a dangerous striker. Van Gaal has also praised Rashford for his fantastic performance. Michael Carrick was delighted for Rashford too, just continues, doesn't it? He said his debut braces what football's all about and what this club has been about for so long. I think he summed it up well here. Carrick also said it reminded him of his debut, but he could be playing in his final game soon enough. He says that he doesn't know how much longer he can play for like two games within a week. His United contract's running out this summer, with Arsenal, Newcastle and Chinese Super League clubs reportedly interested. We discussed this on an episode a few weeks ago, saying that he should be given a new contract. I think everyone would agree with that. Van Gaal, of course, has been all across the back pages this week. He called the Mourinho rumours an absolute scandal, as his row with the media continues, while claiming that United's poor results before this upturn in form has been overplayed. While Manchester City were beaten 5-1 by Chelsea, Van Gaal made the surprisingly sensible point that was excused due to youngsters playing, and that is in what he finds himself in at United in the last few games. David Beckham backs Van Gaal to an extent, saying he should be judged at the end of the season and not now, given that United are still in with a chance of the top four in the FA Cup and Europa League. Memphis are star performing at Midtjylland and Arsenal, really, ahead of the game. Ahead of that game with tonight, says that he hasn't lived up to expectations at United yet. He sort of has now, hasn't he? He also said they quickly built up with Luke Shaw before the left back got injured in September, and it'll be fantastic to see Shaw return and them link up again, because at the start of the season, Memphis was impressing, if not as much as he has done in the last two games. On the opposite flank, Guillermo Varela has revealed that Louis van Gaal told him to stay at Manchester United after he approached him to leave on loan to get first team football. It's paid off Varela, who's played a lot of time since then. He's one of many to come from the academy this season, and one of 14 their debuts from the academy under Van Gaal in two seasons. I'm not sure how reliable this. No other academy people that I trust have repeated this, but Stephen Howson, who's a big United YouTuber, said a presentation saying that there will be a new under 21 stadium built for the under 21 side, and trying to sort of replicate City. And it's either going to begin when we've just named a stand after Sir Bobby Charlton, Stephen Howson, who usually I disagree with, but on this he seems quite sensible. So it'd be great to name that stadium after someone like Duncan Edwards, maybe Jimmy Murphy, or even a bit about Eric Harrison, who brought up the class 92, really. Another big piece of news from the Sunday Times. Many people didn't see this. They say that United want a director of football, reducing Edward Wood's role within the football side of things. I think that would be a fantastic move. Dan Ashworth of the Football Association, who used to work at West Bromwich Albion, is one possible target. Andrea Berta, who we talked about a few weeks ago, who Gianluca Di Marzio reported, who's very trustworthy, is possibly another target. Duncan Castle's reported this, so don't just get your hopes up just yet. And the academy was the forefront against Midtjylland and against Arsenal, but the under-teens and under-21s haven't been that busy since we last recorded. Charlie Scott and Indy Boone have scored either side of a Stoke City goal in a 2-18 victory on Saturday morning. It's a good start to the merit group campaign, the playoffs of the under-18 Barclays Premier League. The under-18s will play Swansea City away from home on Friday, while the under-21s play Oldham behind closed doors in Manchester Senior Cup next Monday. At the moment, they're playing a very strong team against Middlesbrough in the under-21 league. Jack, how have our loan players been doing this week?
Ashley Fletcher played pretty much the whole game. Barnes played 96 minutes before getting replaced in the last minute as they beat Crewe 2-1. Didn't manage to get a goal this week, but he played well nonetheless. He was a constant threat throughout the game, and he continues his pretty good spell on loan at Barnes. Actually, he's scored, I don't know the actual amount, actually, but he's been doing pretty well. Barnsley fans have seemed pretty impressed with him from the few that I've talked to, trying to find out a little bit more about him. He's continuing his good form, really. Victor Valdez, maybe not so much. Spanish keeper played the whole game for Standard Liège as he drew 3-3 with Anderlecht at the weekend. Incidentally, he was on the opposite side to former Man United player Alexander Butner, the left-back. He played for Anderlecht in that game. And Nick Powell on loan at Hull was involved. He played 28 minutes as they drew 0-0 with Sheffield Wednesday. They were the only United loanees to feature. Kieran O'Hara and Blackett both did not play for their respective clubs this week. So, a bit of a mixed bag, really.
All right, good. Fletcher's doing well, isn't he? James Wilson, they were talking about him being recalled, but now we've got this magic Marcus Rashford. I don't think that will happen. It's probably good for Wilson to get regular first team football and Fletcher also. Have we got any questions this week from our followers?
We do. So the first one comes in from at RXLYAT, who says, what do you see Rashford achieving in the future?
It's a difficult question, that. I mean, I haven't got my psychic ball out, but Rashford, I think I've seen him 5 or 6 times for the youth side, and obviously now twice for the first team. I think, as I also mentioned earlier, I think development is key, and not focusing on making him this first team starter, or even I don't want to see him on the bench from now until the end of the season. Like maybe once or twice, but I don't want to see him just warming the bench like Pereira has done. I think he needs to continue playing youth football. A key bit, he needs to bulk up his shirt on Sunday and Thursday. Looked very big for him. Obviously, he's done well, but as he gets older and people become more accustomed to his playing style and defenders become more aware of what he can do, he really needs to get some strength, because the speed is there, the technique is there, the game decisions is there, but I think that will be element.
Absolutely, I'd agree. I think there's no point just keeping him on the bench in the first team, because we think it's just the right thing to do. Most important thing for him at the moment is to keep playing football and to keep developing in any way that he can.
I do see his future, at least for the next few years, United. I don't think he's one of these players that will,
kind of in the Makeda sort of mould, who will come in, have 1 or 2 good games, and then and then just sort of kind of fade into obscurity. I do think that he will stay at United for a few seasons yet. Hopefully have a few more performances like the ones we've seen so far. I don't ever become a star for United, but I guess similar to what we've said about Jesse Lingard in the past, that I think his future will be at United, whether it says a regular starter, I'm not sure, but I think he will have a role to play. I hope so anyway.
Yeah, it could be the same case as Lingard, where he's a squad player instead of a first team player, or even not a squad player, but a player rotated instead of being that star man. I don't think he'll be the star man. He's obviously got huge talent and huge ability and maturity to come into for his debut. I think he had about 7 minutes thinking time before replacing Martial, who got injured in the warm-up and is set to return soon. I think that maturity is key. I didn't really answer the question. Will he make it United? Yes, I think so, but not as a world-class player, but as probably an important player, yeah.
Okay, so second question comes in from at Yaya11. Sorry if I butchered that name. Do you think Giggs will make a good manager?
Yes, it's very difficult to say, obviously, because we have no evidence of it at United. I think it very much depends on when and who and what squad he takes over from. I think now if he takes over from Van Gaal, it's going to be difficult for him, because we might be on an upturn of form, but come the end of the season, there probably would have been 1 or 2 more rough patches. And given the lack of trophies in the last 3 seasons, barring that David Moyes Community Shield against Wigan, I think it's difficult to come in when the fans just want a trophy so badly. So if we win a trophy this season, then I think at United he could cope, because there'll be less of that pressure just to win something straight away. We haven't won something enough. Overall, as a manager, I think people often underestimate both his football knowledge and his ability to be a steely character. There's that look that he sometimes gives Van Gaal on the bench, which strikes a fear of God into me. And his football knowledge is obviously huge, and he's been under the tutelage of Louis Van Gaal, David Moyes and Sir Alex Ferguson, 3 excellent managers.
One thing that maybe we haven't really thought about generally, just as fans, is that although he's probably been assistant manager or in the coaching staff at United for the most unsuccessful few years that of his involvement at the club, in some ways it might actually help him, because it shows him what we've done wrong. And I think he can learn from that quite a lot. So I think he will be quite a good manager. Whether he'll ever be a long-term United manager, I'm not sure. It totally depends on the situation, like you said. But we'll see. I do think he will be a decent manager in the future, yes. Final question comes in from @manlikerooney, who asks, if it's kind of going on from what you were saying, if United were to have a very strong end to the season and maybe win a trophy or two, would you consider Louis van Gaal staying as manager?
Yes, I think I've always considered this, although in December came quite... I think that sort of consideration stopped being in the forefront of my mind. I've always felt that if we win the Europa League, yes, I think he can stay on, because that will mean Champions League qualification, a trophy, having had a very tough season in terms of injuries. I think a lot of fans have seen enough, even if we win a trophy and even if they're enjoying his little antics on the touchline with Mike Dean on Sunday. I think a lot of fans have seen the bad side to know that if that comes back, if that boring football with senior players that we saw at the start of the season comes back, they won't be able to cope with it. So I think for a lot of the fan base, possibly a majority of the fan base, I think him staying on, whatever happens until the end of the season now, whether if we get top four in FA Cup and Europa League, I think even then some will think, all right, we'll wave you into a retirement with a very happy ending instead of risking another season like this. And a lot of people have their hearts set on Mourinho. That's not us, but I think a lot of people have their hearts set on Mourinho.
Personally, I think it would take both a trophy and top four for him to stay on as United manager, even if it was the Europa League that we won. Although that would get us into the Champions League, I just think the psychological boost that goes with just being a top four club in terms of Van Gaal's reputation will be a big factor in it. I think it also depends on the managerial situation elsewhere in the summer. It totally depends on who is available, because personally, I don't see the club turning to Ryan Giggs straight away. I just don't see it as a credible solution. And I don't see why they would risk going to Giggs if Van Gaal has proved, if we're saying this scenario takes place, if he's proved in the last half of the season that he can actually be an effective Man United manager. So I think it depends what the managerial situation elsewhere is like. And as you said, if the style of football does stay as it has been in the last week. We just had, actually, as we were answering that question, another one coming from @DanAncheta, who has been a very avid fan of this so far. So thank you for that, Dan. He says, which starter that is currently injured should be most worried about their role in the first 11?
I guess we've sort of alluded to this before, but I guess Matteo Darmian and Valencia too. Those two particularly, because Varela has been so impressive and so consistent. I think that's the key thing. He hasn't been like two impressive performances against Arsenal and Midtjylland. It has been consistently one of the best players on the pitch every time. So I think Valencia and Matteo Darmian have to be especially worried.
Yeah, I totally agree. Darmian is definitely one. Needs to be careful. I'm not sure he could displace Varela in the current form that he's in. The only other one, I mean, I'm not sure if you consider him an actual starter, because I don't think Van Gaal quite worked out what his best midfield pairing was even before the injuries. But perhaps Bastian Schweinsteiger, who I believe started training again last week. It'd be interesting to see whether Van Gaal reinstates him into the team, because Herrera slowly but surely is beginning to come into a little bit of form. It's been nice to see him getting back to the way that we all know that he can play. And so perhaps he and Schneiderlin are beginning to form a partnership. And so it'd be interesting to see whether Schweinsteiger does come back into the team.
Having not been the world-class signing that some people thought he was. I mean, it's great to be able to say, I've seen Bastian Schweinsteiger play for Manchester United, but his impact hasn't been huge. I mean, in some games, he's very good to have a leader, a player who's so good at finding that ball through defenders, through midfielders, and that excellent ball. I think he played one to Memphis against Club Brugge very early on in the season. So, yeah, he can be worried, but more so not because of young players, but because of Herrera improving, Schneiderlin improving, Juan Mata improving very slightly too. Thank you very much for listening to Series 1, Episode 8 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. Thank you very much for your questions. It always adds something extra when we get thrown off our guard like that. And thank you very much for your support. Jack mentioned Dan there giving us great support. And honestly, we've been overwhelmed by what has been quite an incredible start for us. And so thank you very much for that. Jack, where can we find you on Twitter?
at UTD Tait, T-A-I-T.
You can find me on Twitter at HarryRobinson64, and you can find the podcast on Twitter at UTD Weekly Pod. Thank you very much for listening. What's been a very upbeat episode, what's been a very upbeat week for Manchester United, and has represented the true values of the club, the academy, the attacking football, the excitement, and the little humour from Louis van Gaal. Goodbye. I like you when she talks to me so quietly and so softly. Oh baby, won't you let me be your number one?